Good afternoon, Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Some farmers are starting field work in the northeastern part of North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. That's according to Mycogen commercial agronomist Morgan Hansen, who says the ground is still fairly saturated. Soil temperatures also remain on the cool side.
At the quarry station, it was still 33 degrees. I mean, since everyone's been cooped up and, you know, been sitting on it and waiting, biggest piece of advice that I would have is just still be patient. Still wait until those soil temps warm up and go out and test different areas of your field and stuff, just because guys are really anxious to get out there and start going, especially since it's sunny and it's warming up. We still have a while to go, especially on the pieces of ground that weren't worked last year. If those were left, those are going to be cooler longer. So that would be... just be patient, I guess.
Unworked and unharvested fields from last fall could have a heavy layer of residue. Hansen says that one factor is changing plans for some farmers.
Depends on when they get in, the date, you know, what they kind of had in plan already. Did they already order seed? Can they switch? Going back to temperatures, I would hope that things would warm up soon and the temperature would warm up soon. You know, for the northern guys, I think that they kind of have a lot more options with the canola and the wheat and everything versus guys who are kind of on a corn and bean rotation. Guys are wanting to move to earlier maturities just because of what happened last year. You know, last year we didn't accumulate enough GDUs for a lot of stuff to finish, especially if they pushed their maturities last year.
At Crystal, North Dakota, Brian O'Toole has about 15% of his wheat seeded. At this point, O'Toole's been able to get into the fields that were in sugar beets or potatoes last year.
Field conditions seem to be okay. The fields that we're in are the ones that I've got been in so far. I haven't had any trouble with them. I'm thinking there's some underlying problems in the future. Right now, the frost is still in some of the ground, and that kind of supports our equipment in those wetter areas. And it just, on the top of the ground, seems to be dry.
For his seed business, O'Toole is still seeing a lot of indecision. While most growers are sticking to their normal crop rotation, O'Toole has seen some seed corn returned while he's fielding more calls about wheat seed.
The JBS USA beef processing plant in Greeley, Colorado is preparing to reopen its doors. That facility was partially closed on April 11th after more than 100 employees tested positive for coronavirus. The Greeley plant processes 5,400 head of cattle per day. There are 6 U.S. beef packing plants and 3 Canadian plants that remain closed. The Tyson Foods pork plant at Columbus Junction, Iowa, is operating on a limiting basis. Company officials indicate it will take time to ramp up normal production. 10 U.S. pork plants and 1 Canadian facility remain closed.
According to Bloomberg, at least 100 USDA plant inspectors have tested positive for the coronavirus. The Food Safety and Inspection Service employs about 6,500 inspectors. USDA says they are taking measures to supply masks for workers, though workers may need to find them on their own.
Private exporters reported overnight corn and soybean sales to USDA. USDA says 589,400 metric tons of corn was sold to Mexico. Of that, 369,600 tons is old crop and 219,800 tons is new crop. 136,000 tons of old crop soybeans was sold to China, and 125,000 tons of soybeans were sold to Mexico. On that Mexico sale, 39,000 tons is old crop. The remaining 86,000 tons is for the new crop marketing year, which begins September 1st.
Even with good overnight export sales of soybeans and corn, Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifried says traders are disappointed.
Another soybean sale to China, I think that's the third this week, and while they are small, it's kind of nice to be seeing sort of the consistency there. We did have a big sale of corn to Mexico. However, yesterday, on Thursday, we were talking about the idea that China was looking at buying 10 million metric tons of soybeans and potentially 20 million metric tons of corn, and we did not see that come across the Daily Wire. So maybe just a little bit of disappointment there.
Seifert thinks the lean hog market got too undervalued amid the processing plant shutdowns.
A little bit of a different story, but certainly a better week for hogs here. I think hogs just got really very undervalued and now have a little bit more upside potential. You see companies like Smithfield putting in thermal imaging and really kind of try to fortify themselves so they can continue to operate through this shutdown, even though we have seen a number of plant closures. The feeling is that this will get better going forward.
Economic damage has been done by COVID-19. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo does not expect a rapid turnaround once we get the economy reopened.
When it comes to the hogs, when it comes to the cold storage supplies, when it comes to the food supply chain or the food value chain, you just, all roads lead back to the COVID. All roads lead back to, we've got to get this disease off our back at this stage of the game to be able to make a progression of a trend low in this market. Otherwise, it's going to be days where we go up, but those days where we go up could be followed by real strong days of the market wanting to sell off again.
Zuzulo said the first priority needs to be stopping the coronavirus.
This morning, President Trump signed a $484 billion economic relief package into law. Farmers are now eligible for economic injury disaster loans and the Paycheck Protection Program. Minnesota Farmers Union is pleased with passage of the legislation. The organization is encouraging farmers to talk with their lenders today to apply for those small business loans.
Restrictive language is preventing some pork producers from being eligible for Small Business Administration Paycheck Protection Program loans. According to the National Pork Producers Council, an estimated 25% of the hog industry is automatically disqualified from the loan program. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. It's been 1 week since the USDA announced the framework of the coronavirus food assistance program. Since then, lawmakers and agricultural organizations are giving feedback before a rule is submitted to the Office of Management and Budget. One request from the agriculture sector on direct payments is the removal of the $125,000 payment limit. University of Illinois agricultural policy specialist Jonathan Koppus explores how the removal of these payment limits could impact assistance.
So the payment limit does at least equalize some level of support. If you had a bunch of, if you had a few that took in on a lot more than that, it obviously could limit the ability for some of the smaller producers. But some of that's going to depend, you know, that may be a very different situation for hogs than for cattle, for example. So I think it's probably one of those things they're going to have to sort out. But I think in general, given a limited amount of money, the more that any one or few take up, the less there is for everybody else. So that could be one of the challenges.
Georgia Representative Austin Scott has introduced legislation to provide $50 billion for the Commodity Credit Corporation to help farmers and ranchers get through tough times. The legislation also prohibits the imposition of payment limitations on COVID-related assistance. The legislation is similar to a USDA request and a request earlier this year from North Dakota Senator John Hoeven.
In the past month, Congress has passed about $3 trillion in aid for the American people. Discussions on a fourth stimulus package are underway. National Corn Growers Association Vice President of Public Policy, Brooke Appleton, says for agriculture, the big debate will be how to structure more aid for the industry moving forward.
You know, some people are going to look to getting more CCC funds for USDA. Others are going to prefer more direct funding, since direct funding for the department said they are restricted there on how they can spend CCC funds. You know, the CARES Act had a combination of the two. It provided $14 billion to replenish the CCC, and it also directly appropriated $9.5 billion for the Office of the Secretary. On top of those two things, the other sticking points, I believe, will be how Congress comes to an agreement on increased SNAP funding and if they can coalesce around providing direct funding for the ethanol industry.
Appleton took part in a University of Illinois webinar this morning.
USDA oversees 21 research and promotion programs nationwide, with funding mechanisms varying for each checkoff program. Cattle prices have plummeted in recent weeks due to supply chain disruptions from the coronavirus pandemic. Despite the current challenges, Cattlemen's Beef Board Chairman Jared Brackett says the checkoff continues to drive demand for beef.
And our contractors, and I give them a lot of credit, have very nimbly shifted their message. We've gone from trying to do, you know, larger events to back to more consumer-focused deals with like recipes and what can people cook at home and, you know, how do we use certain cuts of meat from the grocery store.
The mandatory beef checkoff is $1 per head collected each time cattle are sold. Brackett, a cow-calf producer and cattle feeder from southern Idaho, says it's bothersome when prices aren't profitable.
Profitability is not really something that the checkoff is directly related with. You know, as a producer, it really bothers me when I trade that pen of cattle that I traded 3 weeks ago, and they went 42% prime and 58% choice, and I got $1.09 for them. I mean, that's $20 under what I got last year, and that hurts a little bit. So I would tell my fellow producers that, hey, you know, keep doing what you do best, and that's producing safe, nutritious beef, and then let's figure out these policy issues with these policy groups.
It's times like this when the national and local checkoff programs are needed. Dairy Management Incorporated CEO Tom Gallagher says without the dairy checkoff, connections being made between food banks and those dumping milk weren't happening.
It's truly amazing to watch how little, not just the dairy supply chain, but the entire supply chain is really connected to try to make these things, these connections, and make these things work with whether it's McDonald's or a feeding bank. And so without us, those things aren't going to happen. Without us, there is not going to be the push to get more cheese on the pizza where 25% of our cheese moves. And if we can get another percent or two, that's a big number. The value we're bringing right now may even be more important to those farmers than it is in more normal times.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this week we're looking at the impact that pork producers are facing from all of the plant shutdowns because of COVID-19. Obviously, this is affecting livestock producers a lot, but the pig industry, as we've learned in this reporting, that it's so streamlined. They have their pigs come in, they get fed, they go out to slaughter, and then the next group comes in. We have an expert from SDSU telling us they have it scheduled about a year out. So right now, with any sort of backup, it's awful for the pig farmers. And I talked to one farmer who he and his dad and his brother have finished about 35,000 pigs in South Dakota and Minnesota. And they've started selling pigs to local consumers through the local butcher shop at a loss, but less of a loss than they feel like they would take at the packing plant. And they're just trying to find anywhere they can to take some pigs, because the big fear is that if something doesn't change soon, a lot of pigs might have to get euthanized and rendered, and nobody wants that. And there's really no way to slow down that train unless they start, eliminating some pigs. And whether that's going to be the isoweans or that's going to be the ones that are ready for market, it's some really tough choices. And in Minnesota pork CEO said that there's a really good chance that this could put some people out of business. This week we focused on pork, and then we have some other stories on sheep and cattle, and I think next week we'll probably start looking at some poultry impacts, because this is hitting those livestock that you can't put them in a bin. It's hitting everybody.
Sounds interesting, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. May Minneapolis wheat down 5 at 5.5. May Chicago wheat down 13.5 at 533.5. May corn down 5.25 at 314. December corn down 4.25 at 334.5. May beans down 7.5 at 831.5. November beans down 8 at 840. June live cattle down 65 cents at 82.27. May feeder cattle up 57 cents at 117.85. May lean hogs up $1.52 at 52.50. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.